Pink Radio Daily for finally. At long, long last, Frackin' Friday. Gonna wrap this bad boy up. Tis the 17th of May, so happy birthday, Dad. Even though I know you've never listened to one show I've done, even though I've been doing it for almost 12 years now. That's fine. Welcome to the show, folks. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. I'm not saying I have dad issues. I'm just saying you could care less about what I do. That's all I'm saying. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man who's ready to get out there and try all kinds of crazy new drinks, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Oh! There's a flavor!
I hope you enjoy it. And hey there, I'm the guy that everyone says the same thing to after they meet him. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
That's some nonsensical crap. Ain't nobody can do that.
Oh, come on! Of course I can. What happened this fine day, sir?
In 1865, at the first International Telegraph Convention in Paris, France, man, they had so many good parties, the International Telegraph Union, which will later be renamed the International Telecommunication Union, is established to standardize and regulate international telecommunications. So basically, instead of beep, 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 it's more boop, boop, boop.
That's how that inspired that police song, da-do-do-do-da-da-da. 1877, Edwin T. Holmes of Boston, Massachusetts, installs the first burglar alarm connected to a telephone switchboard. Who is it? The burglars.
1902, Greek archaeologist Valerios Steas discovers an ancient mechanical analog computer in a shipwreck off the coast of the Greek island of Antikytheria that will later be dubbed by the media the Antikytheria mechanism. Archaeologists will theorize that the mechanism was designed to calculate astronomical positions and date the device's construction to somewhere between 150 BC and 100 BC. Its complexity is compared to that of later 18th century clocks, though it is the oldest known geared device ever discovered and proof of time travel.
1912, the London Times reports a new automatic telephone system featuring phones with rotary dials has been installed in Epsom. The system will be activated the next day. They just sat around drinking going, this shit's gonna be awesome!
Same day, same year, an official groundbreaking ceremony is held for the new European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, laboratory in the Mern municipality of Geneva, Switzerland.
1955, Enrico Fermi and Leo Szilard receives a patent on the neutronic reactor, which they applied for back in 1944. The patent covers the design of the world's first artificial nuclear reactor, not the natural ones.
The ones that grow all over the place, yep. Specifically in Russia. 1965, the first transatlantic color television transmission is made by the NBC network between the United Kingdom and the United States.
1967, Tennessee Governor Buford Ellington signs legislation to repeal the 1925 Butler Act, which prohibits teaching evolution in public schools, and that only took, like, what, 30-some years? Good job, you guys.
Kind of impressed that a fellow by the name of Buford did that.
Right?
1968, ESRO 2B becomes the first successfully launched European satellite. It is launched by the European Space Research Organization, the forerunner of the later European Space Agency, on a mission to study X-ray and particle emissions from the sun.
1969, the Soviet space probe Venera 6 begins its descent into the atmosphere of Venus, sending back atmospheric data before being crushed by the planet's atmospheric pressure, which are measured in millibars.
Did not know that. 1989, in New York, Tengen holds a reception for members of the press, retailers, and trade representatives to launch the Tetris game cartridge. Tengen also runs a full-page ad in USA Today.
It had two-player simultaneous Tetris. It was the better version. I'm sorry, Nintendo. 1990, Satellite CD Radio Incorporated is founded. They will later change their name to Sirius Satellite Radio. Goofy Satellite Radio had already been taken.
Oh, yuck, you're listening to Goofy in the morning. Beep, beep, beep. We've got some strippers coming up next, giving out lap dances to homeless people. Yuck.
1991, the first server in history to run hypertext markup language, HTML, and hypertext transfer protocol, HTTP, is set up by Tim Berners-Lee on a NextCube at CERN, the European Particle Accelerator.
1999, Remote Agent becomes the first artificial intelligence system to be given primary control of a spacecraft. The murders commence 10 minutes later.
The SETI at Home project releases a free screensaver program that harnesses a user's spare processing power to analyze data from the Arecibo Observatory in search of signs of extraterrestrial intelligence. The application requires approximately 5 minutes to download over a 28.8 kbps modem, showing that it doesn't matter how much intelligence you have, you're still going to download free stuff on your computer.
And I believe I found aliens two different times because that killed two different computers of mine, even though they said the screensaver had nothing to do with it. Coincidence? I think
bum,
not.
Bum, bum.
2006, scientists report having sequenced the last chromosome in the Human Genome Project, which was first launched in 1990. You thought Game of Thrones took a while.
How long does it take? There's only like 23 of them, right? In 2007, the birthplace of Hewlett-Packard, the garage at 367 Addison Avenue in Palo Alto, California, is officially listed on the National Register of Historic Places as the HP Garage. The standalone garage was built in the back of the house around 1924, and in 1987, it was listed as a California State Historical Landmark.
That gift shop is amazing. Birthdays?
Mickey Reed, 31 years old. Rosalie in Twilligit, and 13.
Sasha Alexander is 46. Gretchen on Dawson's Creek from Mission Impossible 3. Isles in Rizzoli and Isles.
Hill Harper, 53, from CSI New York and Limitless.
Bob Saget is 63 years of age from Critical Condition, of course Full House, and an incredibly funny man. And if you only know him from Full House, I love watching your face when you hear his stand-up.
It's true. I believe he also directed his directorial debut, in fact, was a little Norm Macdonald movie called Dirty Work.
Oh, nice. Yes, there you go.
Love that movie. Al White, 77. He was the jive talker from Airplane.
Grace Zabriskie is 78 from Leonard Part 6. Sarah Palmer on Twin Peaks and Armageddon.
Born to Stay No Longer With Us in 1889, Dorothy Gibson, Titanic survivor, and starred in the first movie based on the Titanic. That's a dick move.
Right. 1930, and she didn't get to play herself. 1931, Marshall Applewhite, an American cult leader, founded Heaven's Gate. God, that picture is still creepy to this day.
Shoe enthusiast. No. 1936, Dennis Hopper from Easy Rider, Blue Velvet, Speed, Super Mario Brothers.
1938, Jason Bernard from The White Shadow. Wing Commanders 3 and 4, that's the games, which were so much better than that horrible movie.
1955, Bill Paxton, Weird Science, True Lies, and, amongst many other things, he is the only actor ever killed by a Terminator, Alien, and Predator.
Lance Henriksen got really damn close. 1988, Soccer. That was Wishbone from Wishbone.
Well, on CBS, we've got new Meghan and Harry plus one, No Exit in Hawaii 50.
Now, if those first two were the same show, that'd be funny. ABC, while Fitz and Enoch experience difficulties in space, Sarge and his squad advance with their mysterious task on Earth on a new Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., followed by 2020.
Wow, I am so far behind on that show. If they're all in space and stuff, cool.
Yeah.
NBC has a new Blacklist and Dateline.
Fox, it's another two-hour block of Paradise Hotel.
CW, when the daughter of a wealthy businessman tries to oust her soon-to-be stepmother, her plan backfires after her father chooses his lover instead on a new dynasty.
AMC has Home Alone and the only time Donald Trump was ever a nice person in Home Alone 2.
A&E has a new life PID.
FX, Kingsman, The Secret Service, they're obligated to show that every 5 weeks.
I'm totally okay with that. Simpsons Marathon on FXX, The Man in the Blue Flannel Pants, Holidays of Future Past, and At Long Last Leave.
FXM is showing The Day the Earth Stood Still. No. The Keanu Reeves version.
BBC America has Predator.
Paramount has John Wick and John Wick Chapter 2. And hey, those are the Keanu Reeves versions. Yes!
And in fact, I believe Chapter 3, Parabellum, is coming out this weekend. We've also on the Sci-Fi Channel, we've got The Magnificent Seven.
TBS, well, all the robots. TBS, Captain America, Civil War, and E-League, FIFA 19, Xbox Semifinal, do you?
TNT has the National Bird Association playoffs.
VH1 is showing 21 Jump Street, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. Wellness guru Dr. Kira Birch suddenly dies during the opening of her new wellness center, and her sister refuses to believe it was due to a heart condition. Determined to find out what really happened, she discovers what happens when admiration turns to obsession. Jeanette Sousa, Burnett Hill, starring the first directorial effort from Daphne Zuniga, Deadly Assistant.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Hope's college roommate, Sarah, is the CEO of a toy company that wants to make a posable Abby doll as part of a collection of real-life contemporary female role models. Abby thinks that's a great idea if her doll can look a lot like Barbie. But that's just not the vision they're going for. Stefan warns Rafe about dating a woman with a kid, but Rafe's like, I'm ready to be a daddy and a father too. Hope convinces Abby not to back out of the toy agreement by convincing her that little girls are gonna love the doll. Then they see the focus groups and the kids hate that doll. They decide to nix that idea, especially after the kids captured in a wardrobe, hashtag Chabby, forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Hi, geeks. I was wondering why every week I recognized more names than just Chad and Abby, but I thought Geek Radio Daily would never mislead me. Really? You thought that? At least you didn't do it on purpose. But what did you think I would think when week after week you mention only them when you ask us to hear where they are at this week? Damn, that's kind of fair. I still don't know who Rex could be from Not Monday. And I get as many as a dozen DVDs each month from Netflix. For instance, Spaceballs, the animated series, went back in the mail the next day. Some of it was good. And now I need to get back to work. Not really mad at you, and that is from Bill. Well, Bill, that is kind of fair. With the Chad and Abby thing, it was, you know, I think we've now finally got to the point where I understand how this should exactly work, because I was trying to do just Chad and Abby and in the new show and try to talk about Salem, and that just doesn't work. So everybody's going to be on the show, but they followed Chad and Abby. It's their bit. We're going to name it after them. And hopefully one day, you'll figure it out, like a bunch of people did this week, and you still got time for this week. Get it to us by Monday. Drop a note over to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could tell us all about it in a voicemail, because we haven't had one in a while, and the Flintstress is sad about it every single day. She's pouting. Mm-hmm. You should change that. Drop a note, won't you please? Just dial the number of
510-GRD-CROW.
Where will they be next week? Oh!
As a young boy in Marceline, Missouri, Walt Disney played Peter Pan in one of his favorite stories in a school play. He used to say in Disneyland, an adult is just a grown-up child. Well, here at the Neverland Podcast, we'll talk about heroes like Spider-Man, He-Man, and others that taught us how to do what's right, because right makes might. We're like Saturday mornings all in one podcast. Join us every week to go to Disney and beyond at neverlandpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
Yeah, man. Right on, Hepcat. Right on.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah, and stuff is out. What can we go see if we actually have babysitters and stuff, sir?
Well, in limited release, Trevor is between jobs. He spends his days avoiding his nagging wife by hiding out in a shed and painting figurines for his war games with his agoraphobic friend Graham, and dreaming of his heroic alter ego, the battle mage Casimir the Destroyer. When Mr. Parsons arrives to evict Trevor, everything gets put on hold as a zombie apocalypse starts. Now his primary concern, save his wife or get out of town. Emily Booth and Ewan McIntosh star in Shed of the Dead.
In nationwide release, Bailey is living the good life on the Michigan farm of his boy Ethan and Ethan's wife Hannah. He even has a new playmate, Ethan and Hannah's baby granddaughter CJ. The problem is that CJ's mom, Gloria, decides to take CJ away. As Bailey's soul prepares to leave this life for a new one, he makes a promise to Ethan to find CJ and protect her at any cost. Dennis Quaid, Mark Helgenberger, and Josh Gad star in the Quantum Leap of Pet Films, A Dog's Journey.
Oh, I didn't realize that that was about a dog at first. I thought it was a very different movie. College-bound romantic Daniel Bay and Jamaica-born pragmatist Natasha Kingsley meet and fall for each other. Over one magical day amidst the fervor and flurry of New York City, sparks immediately fly between these two strangers who might never have met had fate not given them a little push. But will fate be enough to take these teens from star-crossed lovers to lucky in love? With just hours left on the clock in what looks to be her last day in the U.S., Natasha is fighting against her family's deportation as fiercely as she's fighting her budding feelings for Daniel, who is working just as hard to convince her they are destined to be together. Charles Melton and Yara Shahidi star in The Sun is also a star.
Oh, I'm glad they cleared that up. Baba Yaga is on the run for two reasons. He's being hunted for a global $14 million open contract on his life, and of course, breaking a central rule, taking a life on Continental Hotel grounds. The victim was a member of the High Table who ordered the open contract. John should have already been executed, except the Continental's manager, Winston, has given him a one-hour grace period before he's excommunicando. Membership revoked. Banned from all services and cut off from all other members, John uses the service industry to stay alive as he fights his way out of New York City. Keanu Reeves, Basil Iwanek, Halle Berry, Ian McShane, and Lawrence Fishburne star in John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
And if that's not enough danger, brooding, and killing for you, then Svengoolie has got you covered on MeTV. He has the tale of two freight handlers who find themselves trapped in a world of death, destruction, and more death. see Glenn Strange, Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney Jr., Bud Abbott, and Lou Costello in Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Bela's second and last performance as Dracula on film.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. In a move I dare say no one saw coming, we're getting an animated musical based on Ladybug and Cat Noir Awakening.
I understand all of those words, but not in that order.
Six-time Grammy-winning producer and composer Harvey Mason Jr. from Dreamgirls is composing the music for the project with Jeremy Zag, who directs. Zag is the creator of the Miraculous Universe on TV. Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, is a rather popular series. It's been sold to over 100 countries. It's played on Disney in Europe, the Middle East and Asia, Nickelodeon in the United States, TF1 in France, ABC in Australia, EBS in Korea. Netflix also has it, depending on your country.
I probably do not live in those places.
Skydance picked up the rights to do a live-action version this year. Production's underway on the movie, billed as a romantic fantasy adventure following two Parisian teens who transform into the Ladybug and Cat Noir superheroes and embark on a quest that teaches the audience about family, bonds, responsibility, and the hearts of two young souls at the center of a story. And the big screen will provide the perfect place to showcase, staring dramatically off into the distance while someone tries to talk to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, a quick announcement. Fortnite has released their John Wick crossover and limited time event, which will last for only 3 more days. Get in there, but remember, no business is to be conducted on continental grounds.
Parabellum.
No word yet on the movie featuring soundtrack from Lady Parabellum. Netflix and the CW will not be renewing their regular deal, which will expire this spring.
Damn it! You put the Arrowverse on DC Universe because I am not getting another streaming service. No!
Well, the deal ending doesn't mean new CW series like Arrow, Riverdale, Supernatural, The Flash, etc. won't end up on Netflix. It just means they won't get them automatically.
Thunderdome will decide!
Past seasons of CW series that premiered through the current 2018-19 season will not be pulled and will continue to stream on Netflix during the broadcast life of the series and beyond. Of the 3 new series coming this fall, both Katie Keene and Nancy Drew are being shopped around with Netflix, said to be among the contenders. Batwoman, however, is being earmarked for the upcoming Warner Media streaming service.
Which is not part of DC Universe. Okay, screw this. I'm putting the special antenna back up.
This marks the second major deal that Netflix has lost, following Disney ending their theatrical film deal with Netflix ahead of their Disney Plus app's debut.
Begun. The stream wars have.
Scientists in China have released an important first set of results from the Chang'e 4 lunar lander, revealing what appears to be material from the moon's mantle on its far side.
Bits of Hitler's mustache?
No, but they could not rule out T-Rex poop. Oddly enough, scientists didn't know a lot about the moon. We just don't. China's mission touched down on the moon's far side in January, a first for humanity, with the goal of answering some of the questions like, what the hell is the moon actually made of? These results provide the first observations from the Yuta-2 rover's visible and near-infrared spectrometer.
But no signs of a secret military base?
U2's data revealed dense iron-rich minerals like olivine and praxine in the soil, according to the paper published in Nature. The researchers took this to mean that they may have found solidified rocks from the mantle, the layer beneath the lunar crust that makes up the bulk of the moon's volume, which would have been kicked up after an impact event produced another 45-mile-wide, 72-kilometer, crater inside the South Pole Aitken Basin.
That's because of the likely space T-Rex.
Probably. Most of the samples taken by the missions to the near side of the moon seem to contain traces from some sort of cataclysmic collision that created the near side of the moon's Mare Imbrium, the left eye of the man of the moon, if you will.
Is the rocket still sticking in that?
No, it's in the right eye, damn it. No, that was a fictional story. However, the Chinese government has revealed that they found some discarded velour cloth and a beard comb left from the early 80s.
Showers. If you can't get someone to cleanse you, they can be tedious and tiring.
Tiring?
Like, I save my energy for the songs that are in my heart that I sing. I am so glad one man understood the difficulties in cleaning yourself and has done something about it.
Wasn't that what the ice bucket challenge was?
An inventor has spent 3 years creating a human car wash, complete with rotating brush and emergency stop button, and has released a video showing how it works.
I would not choose the hot wax option.
Only available in Brazil. Matti Peso from Helsinki, Finland, went through 4 prototypes to create the machine, which he claims will help those in hospitals and with mobility issues. It is built with two motors which rotate the brush and move it up and down during the shower, similar to the brushes in a real car wash. He says, I designed it for people who have mobility issues or are injured or are older and struggle to shower themselves. Mr. Passo helps the unique shower installment, which means users don't need to scrub with their hands, will fill a gap in the market.
See how I let that just go by? Look at me. I am the perfect gentleman.
Obviously, the premium wash costs a little bit more, but it will play Rolls Royce as your area is cleaned, and you get to pick where they hang the freshener.
Stephen Colbert will be participating in a special Dungeons & Dragons adventure to benefit Red Nose Day. Critical Role announced that they will be teaming up with Colbert for an upcoming one-on-one adventure to support Red Nose Day, an annual charity campaign to end child poverty. Critical Role DM Matthew Mercer will guide Colbert through an epic adventure with key characteristics chosen by the fans. Those who donate to the Critical Role campaign will be able to vote on Colbert's character class, his epic weapon, his companion, and the villain of the adventure. The larger the donation, the more your vote will have an impact on the choices.
Oh, like regular elections.
Since Colbert is participating in the adventure, the choices given to the players are going to be a little bit silly in nature. You can choose to have his character accompanied by his mother, or have the villain of the story be a bear. An animal Colbert has hated since his days on the Colbert Report. Players can also choose to make Colbert's character a bard, a sorcerer, a druid, or a barbarian, and so far early voting seems to heavily favor the bard. However,
see?
I got a 13th level halfling fighter thief.
Which would be awesome. Colbert is a longtime fan of Dungeons & Dragons, having played it as a kid, and the Critical Role cast has mentioned trying to get him to appear on the show. Now, while he won't be making a full appearance, getting to watch him play in a solo adventure with Mercer, considered to be one of the most entertaining DMs in the world, should be a thrill to watch. The actual adventure will air on May 23rd. You can donate to Critical Role's Red Nose Campaign Day and make your voice heard in Colbert's upcoming epic D&D campaign. More information can be found at Critical Role's Red Nose Day campaign on their website, which of course you can find in the shows. Colbert, of course, is very excited to be involved in this. In fact, he said,
you hear that, girls from middle school? I'm not a geek. I'm King Geek.
Hail to thee, sir. Hail. GRD is licensed with the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And remember, get your Chad and Abby votes in. What show are they on this week? We've got a new show that'll start next week, and we'll have announcements next week about the week after, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. So drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send us a voicemail over to
510-GRD.
And go do something wacky crazy this weekend. By God, you deserve it.
What do you think? It stinks.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
This has been the saddest excuse for entertainment I've ever seen.
Good night, suckers.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
You know, a lot of people say that Danny Tanner was gay, and I say, I don't think so. All right, maybe, but I don't know. But I needed a mission statement that could be like the banner that I would wear proudly, you know? And I needed a tune worthy of such a statement. So I went to the greatest composers of our time, the Backstreet Boys. They're f***ing awesome, and they are back, and they are street, and they are boys, and they are men, and they rock my f***ing world. We're here on a Friday, this guitar's from eBay. I've heard some of you say, but Danny Tanner was not gay. Tell me why they lived in San Francisco. Tell me why they went through lots of Crisco. Tell me why I never slept with Dave Coulier, but Kimmy Gibbler got it this way. No, that ain't right.